The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning into our show today and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening to this show via podcast on Apple Podcast or via the Best of Times website. We do thank AARP Louisiana and Abairston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn from a local author about her very popular book with local readers and national readers, but also across the world. So stay to this show for some very interesting information. It is Saturday, February the 15th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show is not live and has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the January-February issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our 270 distribution locations, you can always visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Yes, we are working on the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory for Northwest Louisiana. It will be our 23rd edition of our most popular publication with our readers in both print and online. We are updating and adding a lot of beneficial information that you will be able to reference for yourself, your loved ones, and others. Again, the 2024 Silver Pages will be released on March the 1st. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers in the area. It provides them with links to read our current issue, but also links to read our current Silver Pages. But also, the most important thing, it contains additional educational articles and information that's not found in our printed edition of The Best of Times magazine. There are discounts and coupons and a contest, also news about upcoming events and activities that you can participate in. Join the many, many thousands who are receiving this free newsletter via their email address. Just visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com. You can subscribe free of charge just by entering your email address, and you will start receiving this particular TBT newsletter each and every month. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abairston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abairston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Today, I'm honored to have a very special guest on my radio show today is Ms. Nell Kahn, who is an author, storyteller, but also a world champion duplicate bridge player. And I've asked her to come on our show. After I read her book, I said, she needs to come on our show to explain to our listeners a little bit more about it. We're going to know a little bit of the rest of the story, but also of her willingness to tell people to write their stories down before it's too late. So thank you, Nell, for joining us today on the Best of Times radio show. Her book is entitled, great title, You Can't Make It Up. Right, Nell?
That is the truth. You cannot make it up, Bye.
Well, I thank you for taking time today to be on my show. It's very distinct honor for two things. I've always been very proud to acknowledge that you're one of the world champions of duplicate bridge from the Shreveport and Bossier City area. That's a really an honor that I have met with people all over the United States and sometimes with bridge players when they mention your name. So that's really, really cool when that happens. And you're from Shreveport, right, Gary? Where Miss Nell Collins from? Yes, I am from Shreveport, but Tina, my wife, is the better bridge player. I play, I enjoy it, but I'm not the accolade in that area. So, again, I want to congratulate you for writing and publishing your book about your family story. It's remarkable. So what inspired you to do that?
I realized after my mother passed away how many things that I did not know about our family, and I did not want that to happen to my children. So all I could do was start with what I could remember and the stories that I remembered my mother telling us.
Well, again, I encourage everyone to pick up a copy of the book. You're going to relate to some of the stories in there, especially if you're around the Monroe area, Ruston area, of course, Shreveport and Bossier City area, and part of Cannon Electorate, et cetera. You know, I don't know if I ever told you, my parents had a heavily involvement with your husband in that kind of Cannon Electric company for many, many years. So you never know how people's paths cross over.
Well, actually, without my husband, there would not be a book either, because he was such an unforgettable character.
He was.
That he is quite a large part of the book.
Well, I'm glad you got him, Gabriel. Where credit where credit's due as well. So sometimes it takes somebody to prod you. But again, as I mentioned before we got on the show today, I've been advocating to seniors and boomers and family members to write, record, videotape their family stories before it's too late. And that before it's too late could be the loved one gets dementia or can't remember these details of the stories. And, you know, due to illness, due to injury, and of course due to death, you know, I went to somebody that recently a nursing home, and she must have had 10,000 photos in these big boxes. And I asked the lady, What are these? These are all of my family story, family photos from years and years and years and years. And she brought them out to show it to me. And I said, every picture has a story. You should just write down the stories about that picture going to Galveston or going wherever. So, you know, that's a good start, right?
It is. Actually, the hardest thing about starting to write is putting the first line on the paper. Once I got myself to do that, it just flowed. The memories kept coming back.
Well, I want to say another thing about everyone. If you haven't read it yet, you'll be very impressed with the memory details that you have. I mean, those are pretty extensive details about some of the happenings in your life. I mean, it takes some of us. I was trying to think of something about 20 years ago, and I couldn't get all the details. I got some of the parts, but I couldn't remember all of the details. But you were great at writing down the details.
Well, my life was so incredible. And some of the things that I experienced, you just could not make up. From my husband falling in the grave at my mother's funeral.
That was
you know, that's something that does not happen every day.
No, and I mean, some of the parts of your book, I laughed, I cried, and I said, wow, that was a, you can't make this up. And that is great title of the book. Who inspired that title?
I had always thought if I ever got around to writing a book, I would want to name it, You Can't Make It Up. Just actually from the experiences of my mother's card game, when one of the ladies' car rolled into the bayou.
That's right.
And she was looking out the window saying, well, where's the car? And I remember running across the street down the bayou bank, and there it was with the headlights. The car was submerged, and the only thing we saw were two headlights.
And that really lodged in your memory as well, but I'm glad you recorded that down. Your kids or grandkids probably wouldn't have known that unless you wrote it down and told them.
Oh, absolutely.
But many of us, many readers out there and many of my listeners out there probably going to say, yep, we're procrastinating. We need to move on to reality and writing our own story. So how long did you ponder this and procrastinate till you implemented it?
I put the first few pages down in 2007 after my mother passed away. And I did like some memoirs for the kids that I thought was satisfactory, and maybe 10 pages at most, and put them in my file cabinet, and did not revisit them until we were quarantined with COVID.
So 13 years later.
Right. And I was bored one day, and I thought, you know, now it might be a good time to update the memoirs for the kids. I think I'll take a look at them. And once I started, there was no stopping me. Took about a year and a half to...
time flies. It's something fun, too. It's something...
Absolutely. And I did not do it with the intent of writing a book that I was going to have published. But once I finished, I did want to have it edited so it would be grammatically correct and, not an embarrassment, because I did want to have a few copies made for the family.
True.
So I did find... an English lit teacher that was retired that accepted to do the editing just as a friend.
Yeah.
And once she read it, she said she encouraged me to go back and write some more and let's really get this published, because she felt it was book worthy.
Well, I think it is good. I think, I want you to brag. It's on Amazon. It's one of the best sellers for a while, right?
Yeah, we hit it. We hit number one on Amazon for a couple of days there.
Wow, that's good. I know many of people are getting it locally and also in other parts of the United States. And as long as people do get it, and you, of course, it's available on Amazon. I don't know if it's locally available at bookstores. You have any bookstores?
I don't think it is. It was available at Nader's Galleries.
Nader's? Okay.
for a while, but... I don't think he has any of the copies left. And actually, from the first printing, we have some, the ones that are available now on Amazon are corrected, and they're they're much
minor corrections.
Better, yeah, right.
There's now minor corrections as well. So, but one thing I found, I think you told me in your notes when we talked about it. You decided to do this memoir not in chronological order. Again, it's not chronological, everyone.
No, it isn't. I guess my mind just doesn't work that way. One thing would lead to another. I would think about cars that we had, funny stories that had happened with cars through the years, and I would just put a headline and in Word cars, and then when I felt like it, I would go back and write about cars. And
you had a number of them in the family, right?
Yeah, and I think another of the chapters is pets we have loved and lost, and
That was really touching. I like the pet ones. And that's what I was going to tell people. She did it by various topics. I mean, pets, your homes, your husband, your kids and grandkids. But, you know, you made a lot of different little snippets in there. And, of course, you have several sections on the bridge adventure.
And of course, you know, we didn't have a tremendous family, but so many of them was so important in my life. And I did a chapter on my aunts and uncles. And
now the other point that I've read at the beginning of your book, it's difficult. Sometimes when people come from the old country, it's difficult to get all that historical information. My parents and Tina's parents are from Greece and Romania. You know, a lot of that information didn't get told down or passed down in writing, so it's difficult to get that. And you put some in there. I'm sure your kids, grandkids, and future generation can appreciate that, but also it gives you your roots, your history, right?
Well, it does. And for our 50th wedding anniversary, we took the family on a Russian-Baltic cruise, and we ended up in Kiev. And our grandson at the time was 8 years old, and he had always heard me telling the story of my grandfather talking about marching in the Russian army for 3 cents a day. And he was very emotionally touched with this story.
Oh.
And, of course, the vendors were on the street with their souvenirs, and he tried, I think we bought him every Russian army helmet that was out there.
Wow.
When the man was selling the gas mask, my husband said to him, grandson, we are not going to be taking a gas mask home.
That was one of those collector's items back in World War I, probably.
Right.
Wow.
Yes.
It might be worth a fortune these days. There are too many of those available there back then.
Right. So,
getting back some of those history, and I know that your family were Jewish, and many other Jewish families ended up in the Monroe and Shreveport area. I mean, the Rubensteins, the Selbers, et cetera, just like the Greeks immigrated here. For lots of reasons, but interestingly enough, and I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 20s, you maybe know about it, there was a lot of Jewish and Greek people that had candy stores. Candy manufacturings were done in the Shreveport and Bossier City area. There were several companies.
Oh, really? No,
yes.
And
they ended up, most of them, going to Atlanta, Georgia. So that's the rest of the story. They were here in the 20s, I believe. I remember reading some of the stories about them as well.
Well, yes, of course, my uncle that migrated to Monroe and had a push cart and realized that his best sellers were pillows.
Wow.
And so at nighttime, he and his wife, my aunt, would make pillows. And then they realized that they bought a little piece of property and had a little pillow factory, and then they decided they could manufacture mattresses.
That's true. We'll touch on that story in a couple seconds. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears 10 and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and a Bearstown and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show today is a very special guest, is Ms. Nell Kahn, who is the author, storyteller, and also a world champion duplicate bridge player. I've asked her to come on our show to discuss her new book entitled You Can't Make It Up. So thank you, Ms. Nell, for joining us today here.
So good to be here.
So we were talking about your story idea instead of doing, because many people write their autobiographies or stories about their life in chronological order. And I would say some of them are boring that way, but I like your technique of having snippets and topics regarding automobiles, pets, family members, et cetera. So, you know, I love that particular area. And but you also went and talked about, of course, we talked about love of pets the other particular moving to Shreveport, you had a really detailed one about that, right?
Oh.
That was a good one. And the other one I thought was remarkable, you started about, is your family ended up going to the Monroe area and starting off and the pillow making and the mattress company. That was an interesting story.
Well, Monroe was a wonderful, interesting place to grow up in, and
Well, in that time and era, they were fortunate enough to come to America. I think it was 1912. You mentioned it, but they came the perfect time, right before World War I.
Right.
And then weren't there during World War II and all the trials and tribulations throughout Europe and et cetera. So they came to America at probably a perfect time.
Well, neither of my grandparents ever learned to read or write, but they did manage to speak very well, and my grandfather was very smart because he always realized that you needed to buy residential property on the water.
I remember that,
and
yes.
Business property on the railroad track.
Close to convenience about where goods can go, yes.
Yeah, and of course, he had his little push cart, and he'd make a little money and buy a little piece of property. And eventually, the things he was picking up on the push cart were too big for a push cart. So he ended up actually with a scrap business in Monroe.
And I love the story that you mentioned that he occasionally was offered by oil drillers to trade pipe for interest in their wells, but he just wanted cash and carry.
It was cash and carry.
Wow, just think if he accepted some of those interest in oil wells and development and companies in those areas.
Well, I think he had too many friends that were either in the money or out of the money. He used to laugh about his friends who... You could always tell how his oil business was doing because his wife's diamonds would disappear.
Oh, they're here today, gone tomorrow. And they're hocked to buy more pipe.
Right. They were gone to buy some pipe and drill another well.
Well, the other story, I mean, you have so many in there, it's just remarkable, but I thought the story about you and Aubrey is fascinating. You met when you were 14, right?
Yes, we met at my cousin's wedding. My cousin was marrying his roommate.
Oh, yes.
At LSU. And
And that relationship, I know you had other beaus you discuss in great detail in this book. So we went. It was amazing.
The funny thing was, I guess my parents were very lenient in that we were in New Orleans at the wedding. I was 14, and he was a freshman at LSU, and so they talked my parents into letting me go with the group down to the French Quarter.
Oh, wow. And, what a story there, yes.
Yeah. And then when school started and I walked into my speech class, my teacher was none other than his roommate's girlfriend.
You can't make that one up,
right? You can't make it up. That's right.
So there was a lot of those particular items that happened in your life, especially dealing with Avery and other family members. I thought was, but it's I would call it a slow romance, right? It took a number of years.
Absolutely. We corresponded. We were thrown together at family occasions, and I guess we surprised nobody but ourselves when he popped the question. I was home for Easter, and he said, I understand you're going with somebody in Alabama, and how serious is it? I said, well, I think he's more serious than I am. He said, well, that's good, because I'd always thought we'd get married when you graduated. And I said, is that a proposal? And he looked sort of funny and said, I guess so.
Oh.
I said, well, I accept.
Good deal. That's right. You put him on the spot there. But I thought your honeymoon chapter, you had a whole section about that after you got married and going to, if I remember, Hawaii.
We were going to Hawaii.
That is a long story. Give us a little snippets of that. That was...
Well, nothing went off as according to plan. The plane was a DC-3, and the hydraulic fluid had leaked out. This was a Saturday night. We had a...
In Monroe.
And he had the bridal suite at the new Hilton Hotel in Dallas booked. And we realized plane wasn't flying that night. So they put us up at... We couldn't go to the hotels in Monroe because all the wedding guests were down there. So they put us up at the Broadmoor Motel that... If they didn't have 100 George Washingtons on the Saturday night, it was bad. We got out with 9 pieces of luggage and a hat box and a bottle of champagne. They didn't know what to do.
9 pieces of bags? Wow.
They were not happy.
So, Nell, you had 8. He only had 1, right?
Right.
Exactly right.
Exactly right.
He compacted everything in one bag.
It didn't take much.
and then you made it all the way, I believe, to San Francisco, right? And then we had another incident there.
Oh, yeah. We finally got to Hawaii, and, of course, he had always dreamed of learning to ride the surf. And fortunately, he spent all of his time on his stomach paddling out, and when he came in... He was fried to a crisp. So the first week of our honeymoon, he could only sleep on his stomach and could not get dressed and sit in a restaurant.
And even showing his pajamas occasionally to people, right?
Well, finally, when he got better, he said, I think if I put on my pajamas, he had some white silk pajamas. If I put them on under my slacks, we can go to the restaurant.
Oh.
And we were sitting there, and these people were staring at us. And I looked down, and his pajama, white silk pajamas, were hanging out from under the legs of his pants.
Oh, you can't make that one up either, right? But everyone, she goes into great detail about that. I mean, the detail is like in a movie set. You go on from for pages and pages on that. So I'm glad you elaborated. Not just saying, you know, the one thing happened. It was like a series of activity.
The whole thing. It was just incredible.
The other chapter, I believe you, a couple of chapters you have, I thought was really interesting, was about the story of gifting, right?
Absolutely.
Aubrey's gift to you. Tell our listeners a little bit about that one. That was
goodness.
Cute.
Well, we did not have we were not brought up the same way. Gifting was not that important in his family, but my mother had always told me a gift was not a gift if it wasn't something that you wanted for yourself, and how much it meant to have just the perfect gift. So I had already been instructed on all of that, but poor Avery was at a loss. And so he had seen a dress that he thought I would look so wonderful in. So he went to the fashion, and lo and behold, they had the dress. It was a gold knit. Christmas, I opened it up. Unfortunately, it was a copy of a St. John knit that I owned. He had seen the dress on me. Mother had bought me the original at Saks in New Orleans, and Avery had bought me the copy
of the fashion.
So I just smiled and told him it was beautiful and took it back and got myself something else and wore my St. John knit, and
He never knew the difference. As guys, sometimes it happens like that. But, hey, you know, he probably saw it. He remembered you wearing it. And then he said, hey, this is the thing I need to get her.
Yeah,
right?
It looked just really good on there.
Oh, that was good. The other thing that I thought was fascinating, you talk about it in there, is about ham radios.
Oh, my dad was a ham radio operator. And I grew up around that, and it was maddening. And
It's fascinating, too, right?
It is fascinating. I mean, but when you're a kid and it's going 90 to nothing, and the den was right next to the living room. And you could hear
all the correspondence going back and forth.
Back and forth. And, you know, I was about, when I got married, this is just, I'm finally getting away from the shortwave radio.
Oh.
Except Avery had gotten fascinated with it.
That's right.
And he got his license. And we talked to my parents at 5:30 every night.
Oh.
Until...
Well, that's a fascinating hobby. I don't think it's as big deal anymore. When I was growing up, it was a big deal around. I had one.
It was. Well, he was my dad was. He was known all over. He worked the hurricanes in New Orleans. He did relief work, and he actually got an accommodation from the president for his work during hurricanes and during the war. He connected so many soldiers with their parents that he would do a phone patch from the shortwave radio.
What remarkable that is. Yeah, I think you talk about that in the book. I think mentioned a few statements about that. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show is a very special guest, is Miss Nell Cann, who is an author, storyteller, also a world champion duplicate bridge player, and she's discussing her new book entitled You Can't Make It Up. So thank you, Miss Nell, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
So good to be here.
So let's talk a little bit more about your book and some of the chapters. Again, it's very detailed, but I complimented her on her memory and writing down these details. It's not just a statement that, I went to Stevens College or I went to LSU and University of Alabama. You elaborate on your experiences in those three institutions, right? They were all different.
I just love my life so much that you just want to keep talking about it.
And you know, and some of the stories, that I know where Stevens College is. I've actually visited that area, particular area. Interesting change. Why, I can't remember. Why did you pick that? Or didn't you have a girlfriend that you wanted to go up there?
I absolutely had no desire to go there. But my mother decided I needed a finishing school.
Okay.
All my friends were going to LSU, and she thought it was entirely too big for me to be turned loose down there.
Uh-oh.
I needed to go. But thank goodness Ward Belmont was not around anymore, because that is where she and my aunt went, and I would have been shipped up there without even any choice.
Oh, no. But you ended up going to Alabama. Tell everybody. I mean, I didn't know that until I read the book.
Yeah, I went to Stevens 1 year and transferred to the University of Alabama the following year, because my roommate had decided not to go back to Stevens.
And
my childhood friend who was living in Monroe was going to the University of Alabama, and he said that, oh, it's the playground of the South. you need to come to Alabama. And so we went. My parents took me to Tuscaloosa, and I fell in love with the campus, and it was Alabama bound.
Oh, well. But then you ended up in LSU, right?
No, I never. No, LSU is. I always have to root for LSU because it's my football team, and my there's nothing like the South.
That's
Shreveport and LSU and.
So the other story, she goes into great detail about this, and I think a lot of people have that interesting experience. You're coming of age, and you go to register to be a voter. Tell our listeners about that. That's that chapter. That's a great little chapter.
So I took myself down, and my family was not particularly political, and the lady gave me the forms, and when it got to how to register, should it be Democrat, Republican, or Independent, I think my parents were Democrats, but I remember in Monroe they were talking about the new up-and-coming party, the Republican Party, and I loved the ring of it. So I checked the box Republican. I went back and I handed my form in, and The lady looked at it and she said, Can, is your father-in-law Avery Can? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, honey, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm not going to accept this today. There has never been a registered Republican in the Can family. So she said, have you discussed this with your husband and your father-in-law? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, I think you'd better go home and discuss it with them and come back tomorrow.
Wow. I wonder if that happened to others. I don't even, yeah, that's really remarkable. Go back home and check with the family.
Well, I tell you, my husband was, he said, did you get, well, you got all registered today? And I said, well, actually, I didn't. And he said, what happened? And I told him the story. He was doubled over. He said, well, we're having dinner with my parents tonight. He said, you can
discuss
ask
that.
Pops what he thinks.
Oh, so what was the rest of the story?
Well, we walked in and Avery said, Dad, Nell has something that she needs to talk to you about. And he said, well, sure. And so I tell him, and he said, I got to go talk to Bud. Bud was his brother that lived next door. So he said, I'll be back in a few minutes. So he had to
get a consultant involved.
Yeah,
okay.
So he left and walked across the driveway, came back a little while, and he said, well, honey, okay, this is the deal. He said, whatever you decide to do, you can do whatever you want to do. We love you, but this is the deal. If you register Republican, the only thing you can vote for is the president. Because the Republican Party at that time wasn't established enough to have any other agenda.
In the area.
He said, so I said, well, okay. I said, that's good. I said, but would you write a little note to that effect? Because I don't think that lady's going to believe me. And so he wrote a little note to the effect that whatever I did
was
okay. And he signed it. I had my husband sign it.
Wow.
And the next day, I marched myself back down to the voter registrar's office, and I handed the lady the note. She handed me the form. I registered Republican, and that's the end of that story.
Wow. What an amazing, had to get consultants involved, family members involved, and go back and prove it to the person that there. That probably wasn't done by too many people, but that is a great story. The other thing I thought was interesting in your book, you talked about you and your husband's love of dining at restaurants all over the United States. So you've been to some fabulous ones, including in New York and all over the United States and also abroad. So that was the travel. Y'all enjoyed the traveling. You talk about a lot of your travel stories, which was really cool. Yeah. But before we've talked a lot in this 45 plus minutes. We didn't even talk about your bridge story. So give our listeners a little, first of all, the touch of how you got involved in bridge. I don't think your book goes into great detail.
Well, you know, my maiden name was Bridge.
Yes, I'm going to mention that.
And in fact, my mother played so much bridge, I thought my name was, and she was always having a bridge game.
Uh-huh.
I thought my name was Nell Bridge Game.
Oh, wow.
Until she very gently explained, honey, where your name's Bridge and Bridge is a game.
So your mom taught you?
My mother, yes. My mother was an avid bridge player. And I got involved when the polio quarantine. The swimming pools were quarantined. It was a long, hot summer. All our friends went to camp except my friend Shirley McDonald and I, her family decided that she just needed to stay home too. So our mothers played bridge together, and we said, well, y'all are going to have to teach us how to play bridge.
Oh.
And while when all of the polio scare was over and our friends were out doing things, Shirley and I were at the Bayou Desert Country Club playing duplicate bridge.
Wow, that's what a story. And then you went on and on for many, many years.
Yes.
Moved up the ranks.
Well, yeah. Actually, Shirley was in Hawaii when Avery and I, she was in summer school in Hawaii when Avery and I were on our honeymoon. So when he had the little set too with the
sunburn.
Burn, Shirley and I hit the bridge table.
Oh.
And but anyhow, I sort of gave it up for a while after we married and had kids, and then he hit the duck blind. And
you just let it hit the bridge blind.
I hit the bridge table.
But she goes into great detail. We don't have time to talk about all of it.
Right.
But remarkable stories about being involved in the National Bridge Association as well, right? You were on that board?
Oh, yeah. And was president of the Bridge Association here. And I love the game, so I...
And you're still actively playing.
Wanted to give back to it and keep as many people playing as we can.
That's true. Well, thank you again for joining us today. I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of her book. The title of the book is You Can't Make It Up by Nell Can. And it's NellCahn, available on Amazon.com. It's a fantastic book. You're going to find it quite interesting. And her topics are not in chronological order, but are in topic order. So you're going to learn about some different topics about her pets, about her travels, about, as I told you, about coming of age. That chapter I thought was fascinating, and she gave us a little snippet of that, but many, many other stories about their trips and travels and their 50th anniversary cruise to Russia, et cetera. So thank you for joining us today. It was wonderful. Again, I'm glad we got a little bit of the rest of the story out of this, and I know that more and more people are going to pick up this book, and best wishes to you for a happy continued retirement and continued joy of playing bridge.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Miss Nell. Please tell our sponsors and advertisers who support this radio show that we do appreciate them. Remember to tell your friends to join us next Saturday morning for another show that could benefit them or their loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times in one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.